You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and Friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism, broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Guy, this is the Travel Guy, and another great day, another super travel show. My guests are Mr. Jim Donnelly, co-founder of IGOYouGo.com, our traveling chef, Mr. Tom LaPerry, and Rediscovering America with TTN's associate producer, Mr. Bob Fisher. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night Total All-Inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Totally do it again. We'd like to take a little break from the usual today because Evan Eggers, who is the president of O2Cruise.com, is on the road or on the water, and anyway, he's out of town today. So we'd like to take a moment to update you on some of the things that we have on our website. And whether you're planning a trip, thinking about a trip, or just doing some research for school, you go to our homepage, click on the Resource Center button, and let's just walk it through with Associate Bob Fisher, who I believe is on the line. You with me, Bob?
I'm here, top of the morning to you, sir.
And top of the morning, rest of the day to you. I almost lost that. I'm the one who's supposed
right
to be on top of it.
I can use your volume up a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
My volume? You want my volume up high?
Yeah.
How is that?
I'm coming across.
Are you getting it now?
A little bit more, and it'd be nicer.
How about this?
Oh, I like that, and just a touch more.
Well, you got a little bit more now.
Oh, that's perfect. And how are you hearing me this morning?
Well, you know, I'm hearing you pretty good, but I'm going to have to reduce volume a little. How's that?
Okay. That's pretty good.
Is that better?
That's perfect.
Okay, I mean, it's not so bad. We use our hour just testing our equipment here.
Well, you know, this morning I really get a new appreciation of how you really guys do this because of what we're going to do in this first segment. And thank you very much. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. But, I now know what you do as one-arm paper hangers because I've got a website up here I want to talk to you about, and I've got three sites open in Internet Explorer that I think are very appropriate to what we're going to talk about today, plus the telephone, plus my headset because I was listening to the pre-show. So I get a good idea of what you're doing.
Well, what happens sometimes? You miss a slider, and all of a sudden it goes down a little, and you realize that.
That's a baseball term, isn't it? A slider.
A slider, yeah.
You play a lot of baseball.
But the difference is that you're either safe or out. Here, you're just out if you don't have it right.
Right. I understand it's not a very sunny day in Florida today.
No, unfortunately, it's overcast and very cloudy, and we're expecting rain today. It's 69 degrees, and it's chilly for us.
I'm really sorry to hear that because it's about 10 degrees below zero Celsius here, although the sun is shining. So I hope you feel sorry for me.
I feel terribly sorry, Bob. But you know what? Later on today, we're going to talk about your trip to Lee County and Sanibel Island. And so that should warm you up a little when we get to that stage.
So. I think so. Anyway.
Let's go to the website. Take it from there.
Well, I think this is really important. You have a guest coming up in the second segment.
Mr. Jim Donnelly.
Jim Donnelly,
yep.
Of I Go, You Go. And I must say, first of all, I've got his website up in front of me right now. And, you know, if you want to look at a website, a travel website that really has its act together, that is really travel friendly and really gives you the goods, this is one to look at. I've spent a fair amount of time because, you know, I do the website and that sort of thing. I examine them. I really understand now why the new electronic travel media is so much so important to this industry, and you especially, Roy, because you've been in this industry for so long. You must have seen a total revolution when the electronic travel industry really started to open up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a whole new learning process for me.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's still a learning process, a learning curve that we're all going through because everything is moving so fast. And when I say it's a new electronic media, really, that's I'm behind the point because it's not new. It's been around for a long time now. But what it is expanding and proliferating. And I think the first thing that people really need to know, they really got to get a grasp on how does the internet impact on the whole travel industry and impact on the actual traveler. Well, it seems to me there are a number of fundamental concepts that are really not all that new, but they are especially important to how this whole travel industry has been changed. First of all, the concept of multimedia, and our show, of course, is that. You know, you have images, you have links, you have audio, you have the whole thing. The internet is based on being interconnected and being fully integrated. And when it comes to the travel industry, and this is why I believe that it is so important, you go direct to source. There's nothing standing between me as the traveler and the source. And I just want to, if I could, I just want to make reference to something that we have up on our home page, and it was a study done recently, in 2005 actually. There's a California-based a company called Claria Corporation, and they conducted a major study, Feedback Research, that's a division of Claria Corporation. Their stats show that 88% of travelers, this is United States, but 88% of travelers in 2005 had already used or were planning to use the internet, A, to research their travel plans, and B, to actually buy from suppliers online, suppliers like iGo, YouGo, that you're going to be talking to next. That's an astounding figure. And, you know, maybe you want to jump in there and say what that, you know, 88%, you know, how does that compare to 10, 20 years ago, how travelers were booking travel?
Incredibly. That's an incredible number, isn't it?
Well, I think it's an incredible number for a number of reasons, and as I said, it indicates that people are going direct to source. And what it does, when the internet really, really works, whether it's in the travel industry or news or, you know, your favorite pet passion, what it does is it empowers the user. But it also brings together the interested parties. And, you know, part of what we do on Talking Travel is we integrate the travel industry with the journalist. So we come together, and then we bring in the travelers, and we say, okay, let's get this all together and find out what we can do.
Well, I think the industry in general had to go back and readdress this whole thing. I mean, certainly we did, and obviously It's getting more and more sophisticated, and there are more and more organizations, smaller organizations, who really mm-hmm. never had websites before, small travel agencies, for example. It's changed considerably.
And you mentioned the travel agencies, and what I find really interesting, because I've had a look at this, travel agencies are not disappearing, by no means. As a matter of fact, they're getting better. They're becoming specialists in their field, and you will find, for example, a travel agent, an actual person, who may be the specialist in ecotourism in Costa Rica, for example.
Or cruising.
You know, Evan Edgars, for example, is a perfect example. But what I, as the consumer, as the traveler now, am able to do is have direct contact, no matter where I am. I mean, I'm sitting in the frozen north, but I can still talk directly to these people.
And what's even more important is it's not the old 800 wait. You know, you go
right.
through the menu, you sit there, and yeah. someone's saying the next available agent will be with you. This is instantaneous.
And very interactive, and again, the consumer can be in control. Having said all that, though, I do want to pose some caveats, and the first one is the familiar caveat emptor, that buyer beware.
Right.
You really have to understand, and the travelers ends up with the same dilemma. Where am I going? You know, and I like on Jim Donnelly's site, he's got a quote up there, walking the streets of Los Angeles, I feel like I've been dropped off on an alien planet and left to figure it out for myself. And that's so true, and I know, you know, many of us have experienced that, but thanks to a lot of these new electronic and web-based sites, we don't have to end up in that situation. You may want to out of choice. But the end user still has to know how to evaluate an internet travel resource. You've got to know, is this one good or not? And I think, and if I may, what I look for when I evaluate a website to post on our site and to recommend in our recommended travel resources,
which we don't get paid for, incidentally.
No,
I mean,
exactly.
We get paid for banners, but people
right.
should understand that the
right.
information that we think is valuable is up there because we think it's valuable, not because they're paying us something.
That's right. That's right. But we also know what goes around comes around, that we are all in this together in terms of the travel industry. And the more we participate, whether you're the consumer, the travel supplier, or the journalist, etc., it's all for the betterment of the travel industry. But I look that the word that I use now is evergreen. Is the material here constantly updated? Can I tell? Is it current? Well, that also is what the internet allows. You can make a change at any point. I also ask myself, you know, when I'm looking at a particular Expedia, you name it, do these people support my decision, and do they validate the decisions that I make? Because I am in control. And how do I personally use the site to leverage the power of the web? Another point that one site pointed out that I liked was that you always have to look for quality over pedigree, because a lot of well-established media are obviously getting into the electronic media big time, but it doesn't always replicate quality, the success on the web. You have to judge that. And often an independent travel content site may actually reach more prospects. Very important, as you and I have learned, of course, is, and this is a recommendation from a major tour operator in Britain, actually, is to look for sites that have a strong presence in Google. And we know that whole Google rating thing basically is a strong indication of, is this website working? Is it interconnected again with other sources? And does it have a long-term awareness? Is it creating a long-term awareness of a destination or just short solutions? Well, you have to decide, what do you need, short solution or long-term, and you got to follow it down the road.
Well, right now we need a short solution because we've just about run out of time, and it's time for us to go to break and actually go to Jim Donnelly, who will be on the phone in a moment.
Well, I just want to end by recommending that people do a test run on one website that we've got up there on our site, and it's called WOTIF.com. That's WOTIF.com. This is a company out of Brisbane, Australia. It has offices in Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. And they're a specialist in last-minute accommodation. And I did a test drive of this site this morning, pretending I wanted to go to Paris within the next 28 days. And I got every bit of information that I needed. And I got some really good deals. But I got taxes included, whether breakfast was included, everything, even a currency converter.
Well, great.
And that itself says what it's all about.
I thank you for that, and we'll talk to you later on in the show.
Have a good show.
Okay, bye for now.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Well, we're back, and we're going to be joined in just a moment by a gentleman who has co-founded a very interesting website with a very interesting name. It's called Igo Yugo, and the man is Mr. Jim Donnelly. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's before we get into the site itself, let's give our audience a little idea of how Igo Yugo came about. First of all, the name is quite intriguing. Maybe we could start with that.
Sure. It's kind of a funny story, actually. A buddy of mine and I were working at Citibank, and it kind of gotten to our breaking point, and we're ready to go start something on our own. And we'd always been avid travelers. I'd been a military brat. His family had moved all over. His wife was a world traveler and that sort of thing. So we knew we wanted to do something in travel. And we had a notion that we wanted it to be around providing really great content. So one day he's sitting in one of these four-hour ridiculous meetings typing in URLs into register.com just to see what was available. And lo and behold, Igo Yugo was available. And you know, we sort of quickly got to the notion that, hey, that'd be a really cool name for a site that's built around real people helping other people find great trips.
And so you got the domain name and then just started the website, which incidentally is a terrific website. That must have taken you some time.
It did. From the time we had the inspiration and the idea to the time we launched the site was about a year. And that was the case for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, we wanted to create something that was really different. And we really felt strongly there wasn't a really good resource out there to get real information from real people and in a systematic way for wherever you wanted to go. And the beauty of Igo Yugo is not so much how we ended up designing it and those sort of things. The beauty of it is that it's attracted some fantastic travelers from all over the world for every type of travel.
Exactly that. And of course, when one goes to the home page, the first thing up there is honest advice to get you going. Because one of the big things is, how do you get advice you can trust? And I think that's a pretty good statement.
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where everywhere you look online, you're starting to see user reviews. And,
right.
You know, so we've obviously always been a big fan of that, but we've also always been a big fan of going a step farther. We think that the person behind the review is just as important as the review itself. So if you don't know what the person's likes or dislikes or how they think about travel, how are you going to take advice from them
right.
about certain things, about an activity or a destination? So we try to do a great deal to make it easy to see who's behind the reviews. You can interact with them. You can interact with them as a traveler. They could be a local. But you always know who it is and where they're coming from. And we think that provides a much better dynamic than some other sites where you get, you know, random reviews. And, you know, the more reviews you read, the more confused you are because you can't see the person behind the review.
Right. And then everything else on that you have up there, for example, you have activities, travel deals, destinations, which are broken down by top destinations first. Featured destinations, photos, 248,242. That's pretty impressive. And but most importantly, these are recommended references. It's not a booking engine in, as such. And as I see it, the interactive part, enabling one to submit their photos and info on a particular destination, is wonderful.
Yeah, we think so. I mean, we think the last thing the world needs is another booking engine. You know, there's plenty of them out there. That's great. One thing we are really proud of is the people that do submit content, submit wonderful content. They spend on average 5 hours, and that's not a function of it's hard to submit. That's just a function of they really get into it, and they just really pour their heart out, give you every bit of detail that you want. And we try to make it easy for you to go through that. For instance, we have editors that rank the quality of the reviews whenever they come in. They don't tell a person what to say. They don't tell them to say good things, but they do let you know which content is well written, which content is more informative, so that when you go to a destination, whether it be Las Vegas, Paris, you know, Prague, you know, Orlando,
or walking down the streets of Los Angeles,
exactly, it's going to be easy to find the kind of content that you're looking for. And we've also found that the people who contribute the content on the site like that interaction with a real person. And I've even gotten an email that said, you know, when I realized that there was a person on the other end, it really surprised me. Will you give me another chance to try and write better the next time? And I was kind of flattered in a way, and I sort of chuckled to myself, and I wrote back to the person, you know, it's like, shoot, I should be thanking you rather than you asking me for another chance. And that particular member became a fantastic contributor, and, you know, I know many of the contributors. Even though we've got hundreds of thousands of site users and contributors now, I still know many of the contributors, because I find myself reading some of the stories when I'm sitting in an office and daydreaming, what am I doing here?
Exactly. And while you're exactly while you're reading their material, but what's also interesting that you have a very high page ranking by Google. You have a 7 out of 10,
yeah.
which is quite impressive actually. I think our site runs between 5 and 6, but 7 is way up there. So it just shows that, you know, it's obviously a popular site.
Yeah, I mean it. We of course love what Google does for us. We get tons of traffic from people going into Google, searching for something, and finding links to iGoYouGo, and that's true. You know, Yahoo links to us, and a lot of the other smaller search engines link to us, and it's not just search engines; it's lots of different sites. We power content for probably 25 to 30 other large travel companies because they also see the value. So, for instance, you have the Travel Channel community powered by iGoYouGo. It's the exact same thing you find on iGoYouGo.com, but it's got the look and feel of the Travel Channel.
Right.
And to us, that's just a compliment that says, hey, this big company that has, you know, endless resources recognizes that nothing can replace the perspective of an avid traveler who's been where you want to go.
Value is important.
Yeah, and they think that iGoYouGo does it better than other folks, and we're not going to argue with them.
your Earn Rewards program, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, people do submit some fantastic inspirational stuff on our site, and that's valuable for other travelers and certainly helps us. So we feel like we should, you know, make it a good dynamic on our site. So the more people write, the more they earn Go Points. And Go Points are basically our reward program that allow you to earn frequent flyer miles, things like Amazon.com gift certificates. And the way it works is that as those editors rank the content, the higher they rank it, the more points you earn. And then separately, as people read your content on the site, every time a new person that signed in reads your content, you get more points. So it's in your best interest to go out and tell other folks about I Go, You Go. And that's kind of a dynamic that exists anyway. I mean, half the fun of travel is doing it, half the fun is bragging about it. So we just want to make sure that the people who come to our site enjoy it. We give them an appropriate thank you in the form of Go points, and they keep coming back for more and more, which is great.
Now, free registration, why register?
A couple of things. Number one, it allows you to write and earn Go points. We need to, it's what I talked about earlier, if you're going to write on the site, you need to be able to convey what type of traveler you are so that when other people read your content, they know the perspective that you're writing from. Now, the stuff that you have to put in there, it's not invasive, it's not scary. You know,
right.
It's sometimes things as simple as, what are your favorite books?
Right.
You know, I got in there that Catch-22 is one of my favorite books, and I've actually gone searching in a destination and searched for other contributors for that destination where Catch-22 is their favorite book, because I figure they're probably a little quirky like me. So that's part of it. The second part of it is... It allows you to find other members like you. If you have a profile, you can use the site to actually find the other people who match your profile. So once again, if you're going through a city like Chicago, hundreds and hundreds of members who live there, you want to interact with the ones that are just like you. And of course, you can opt out of that interaction and that sort of thing. And then finally, the second half of I Go, You Go is that after we inspire you, we'd like to get you going, and that's why our tagline is Get Going, or one that we have used in the past is Get Going, in that if you get inspired and you don't have a way to act on that inspiration, it's kind of frustrating. So I Go, You Go acts as this clearinghouse for great ways to go and do the trip. So we don't have any exclusive relationships or anything like that, but if we have someone write about a great hotel or B&B or a great activity, we provide the links to that, so that you can go and either buy a ticket, make a booking, et cetera, et cetera. To the best of our ability, anyway.
Right. Now, what guideline do you use for picking, let's say, top destinations and featured destinations?
Yeah, top destinations is really easy. We know that we aren't nearly as smart as the collective voice of our site users. So to the degree that people are searching certain destinations, they're going to be more prominently featured on our site. And that's how it happens. So Amsterdam, Las Vegas, New York, Rome, Sydney, those are destinations that are featured as top destinations on the homepage right now. And it's by virtue of the fact that that tends to be, over the last few days, what our members have been interacting around.
Well, Jim, a really great site, really user-friendly. The site is igoyougo.com. And for those that are at home, in front of their computers, or listening on the web, you can go to our website, in fact, and click on it, and there's a link to I Go, You Go. Jim, thank you very, very much for joining us today, and maybe we can get to chat again one of these days.
I hope so. It was my pleasure.
Bye-bye for now.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was Jim Donnelly, I Go, You Go. And what could be better than I Go, You Go, or We Go? We're going to take a little break here in a moment, and when we come back, even though I'm on a diet, we're going to chat with our traveling chef, Tom. So hang in, and we'll be back in a moment.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Yeah, call your local travel agent. And this is Roy Lowy. I'm back. And as I just mentioned a little while ago, I've started a diet. I don't know if it's a real diet, but I can tell you that an apple a day doesn't keep the frustration away. And we're about to be joined by Chef Tom LaPerry. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. As I mentioned, I decided pre-holiday I'd drop a little weight, but every time we chat, it's just before lunch, and I haven't eaten my apple yet. So you've got some great stuff here, and the topic that you chose was Daytona Goes Foodie, and I hope you're not going to tell us that there is more than beer, the beer, pizza, and tacos after a day at the beach or a NASCAR race.
No, Roy, that's not what I'm going to tell you. I was pleasantly surprised to find numerous fine upscale dining locations, and they seem to be increasing in number and quality. It was a very pleasant surprise. Daytona offers a lot more than the beach and the International Speedway. They got the official NASCAR attraction, Museums of Arts and Sciences, Marine Science Center, the Ponce de Leon Inlet Lighthouse, and the De Leon Springs State Recreation Area.
So there are a lot of local permanent attractions.
Yes, there are.
I mean, we know about the bike races. We know about those things. But I guess one doesn't think about some of the other attractions. It's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is. But you mentioned bike races. Well, besides the bike races, they have a bike week and a Biketoberfest. They've been sort of described as Mardi Gras on wheels, where everyone comes and has a fun time. They have fine art shows, fishing tournaments, and a spring break show up there, too. So it has quite a bit of activity.
Now, you stayed at the Perry's Ocean Edge Resort, I understand.
That's correct. I stayed there, and it was right on the beach. The sunrise, sunset walks were wonderful, and it offered me an opportunity to go out and enjoy the other pleasures of Daytona, and particularly the highly refined dining experiences.
Well, let's start with that. Why don't we start with breakfast?
Okay. Well, we'll start with Perry's Ocean Edge Resort, since they offered complimentary coffee and donuts each morning, and the unique thing was they made the donuts fresh at the resort each morning.
They had a donut machine?
They had a donut machine, and they fried them up, and they were delicious.
Boy, I love it. One of the cruises I was on had a donut machine, and, between that and the bar, I'd just go back and forth.
We also had breakfast at the Daytona Diner. This is a Harley Davidson classic where they say the local color is as good as the food. It serves typical breakfast fare, but the unique thing about it is it's served promptly with flair by courteous, lively staff. The Harley Davidson dealer next door is one of the largest in the United States, and some of the fun things in the diner there was I was looking for the men's room, and I looked around and I only saw one door, and it said business office. So I kept walking around. I went out, walked around the building, came back in, and asked the waitress. And she says, oh, no, you got to go in the business office. That's where all business is conducted.
That's terrific. So what about lunch?
At lunch, there are a lot of nice lunch places. They got the Dancing Avocado Kitchen, which is in downtown Daytona.
Great name.
Yes, and it has a combination of foods that'll keep both vegetarians and meat eaters happy. I had crab cake pasta and gazpacho.
I've never heard of crab cake pasta.
Well, it's basically a pasta toss with olive oil, butter and garlic, and a crab cake on top of it.
Great. That sounds wonderful. And gazpacho, of course, is wonderful.
Oh, it was. It was. We also went to Angel and Phelps Cafe and Chocolate Factory. The cafe was specializing in soups and salads and sandwiches for lunch. I tried a Reuben sandwich and coleslaw, and they were both excellent.
Yeah, I like Reuben.
The Chocolate Factory next door has free guided tours, and it gives you a fascinating journey into the history and how to make chocolate. Visitors can watch more than 100 different candies being made and then go to shop and ship candy home to all of their friends.
Yeah, well, you know, I found that quite interesting in that, I don't know, when I think of Daytona, I don't think of a chocolate factory, and they ship this all over the world, and I guess you got a chance to taste it, and it must be top of the line chocolate.
It is top of the line chocolate. It's very good, and the chocolate factory was established in 1925, and it's a must-see if you get in the area.
Now, where is it in relationship to the beach area? Is it close by, or is it in downtown?
It's in the downtown area.
Right.
You go across the beach, and then you've got, like, the little inlet canal there, and then
uh-huh.
on the other side, the old downtown area is where it's located.
Okay, fine. I got it. And then, let's see, you mentioned that Down the Hatch and Inlet Harbor Marina and Restaurant also.
Right. These are two rustic Florida seafood houses, and you can eat either lunch or dinner there. And they're on the banks of an international waterway. I went to Down the Hatch, and they had a wonderful array of fresh local seafood. They started this with fried grouper fingers, which was served with a tartar sauce, and the batter was light and crisp, and the tartar sauce was excellent, and the grouper were caught that morning, which was quite surprising and quite delicious.
I like grouper fingers, and if, as you say, I think the key is, I hope you would agree, is the secret is the light batter rather than, you know, deep frying it in a heavy batter.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. A light batter enhances the taste rather than masks it.
Exactly. Yeah, good.
And then we followed that up with a couple of local favorites, a smoked fish dip, which was a cream cheese and smoked fish dip, and conch fritters, which was a typical fritter, but well-made, tasty, and crispy.
Another favorite of mine.
Yeah. And everybody goes there becomes a local since it's a local favorite.
And then you mentioned shrimp steamed, blackened, fried, and scampi.
That's right. They served us a whole array, and every one of them was excellent. They did a very good job. And the Brawl sea scallops followed that, and they were equally delicious. So we had a full lunch.
Now, you know, sea scallops is a very interesting dish, but I always think it scares me a little because scallops seem... what's the word I'm looking for? They just look like you could hurt them if you didn't treat them right. And they can be broiled. They can be simmered. What other ways would you do sea scallops?
You can, like you say, broiled, simmered, fried. I've had them fried with a light batter. You can do them in sauces. Wine sauces, or you can
right.
do them with...
almost anything, I guess.
Almost anything. I do some at home, and we love it, is just sear them in butter, olive oil, and garlic, and then toss olive oil and garlic and butter on pasta and serve them on top to pasta with a little Italian seasoning.
Ooh, that sounds nice. That sounds wonderful. How about dinner?
Dinner? Oh, to die. we went to Frappe's North in Ormond Beach the first night, and they offer a wonderful array of creative American cuisine. And the chef is also the owner, and he's self-taught, and the food he served was fantastic. And he did a food and wine pairing, and he started us off with a Bar Harbor lobster bisque. With dashes of roasted alai and a Cambria Chardonnay to go with it.
Oh, Lord.
Excellent combination.
Lobster bisque, another favorite.
And then he followed that up with a salad made with watercress, Asian pears, fennel, red onion, chevre cheese, champagne provincial herb emulsion, and we had a Chateau St. Michel Sauvignon Blanc to go with it. That was quite a salad, and the wine pairing was excellent. It neither of them overpowered the other.
Now, how about the horse heaven?
That was St. Michel Sauvignon Blanc Horse Heaven.
Oh, Horse Heaven, okay.
Horse Heaven was the brand name.
The brand name.
I just kind of cut it short.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Now, and then there was some tuna.
Yes, we had the black pepper seared ahi tuna, which was seared on the outside and rare on the inside. It was sushi-grade tuna. It was topped with Neapolitan vinaigrette, Italian vinaigrette, and there was microgreens, and it was paired with a La Crema Pinot Noir.
Right.
I'll get it right in a minute.
I always have a problem with that one as well.
Right.
Okay, and then... Yeah, Pinot Noir. We'll get Fisher on there in his French.
Right.
He'll straighten us out.
He'll straighten us out on our enunciation.
All right, so then you had... Then there was filet mignon.
Filet mignon with gorgonzola and aged port reduction sauce with it. And we had applewood, bacon, chive, Yukon Gold mashed potatoes, and it was served with Bighorn Cabernet Sauvignon.
Now, let's just go back to the aged port reduction. Can you break that down for us?
Basically, aged port reduction is an aged port, which is typically vintage port.
Right.
And it's usually aged probably 20, 25 years. And then it's reduced with the pan drippings, and it comes up with a very nice flavor, which is the savoriness of the pan drippings and the sweetness of the port complemented quite well.
And then the meat. Yeah, that's wonderful. My stomach is growling here.
I'm getting hungry already.
And let's see. Then what came after that?
Oh, we had an espresso cream brulee with Godiva liqueur.
Godiva liqueur.
Right, that's a chocolate liqueur.
Right.
Right, and it was quite good. It was a nice pairing.
What a wonderful evening. Now, you mentioned a couple of others that you didn't. One you did, and a couple you didn't. One is the Rain Supper Club, which I thought was an interesting name, and the other was the Baleen in Daytona Beach Shores.
That's correct. These were upscale dining establishments, the fine dining establishments, and several people that were with our group went to these, and they raved about the food they had. And the Baleen is the brand of the Noble House Hotel and Resort, and it was originally started at the Grove Island Resort in Coconut Grove, Miami.
Huh.
And the Rain Supper Club is one of the newer restaurants, and Chef Stacy Scott was from the Russian Tea Room and the 21 Club in New York.
Oh, there's some heavy names.
And he's at the top of his game, and he has complex flavors and sensual textures.
But it must be worth the drive just to check that out.
I would like to have checked it out, but I could only go to one that night.
And the one you did go to was the Stonewood Grill and Tavern.
No, that was another one.
You didn't get to go?
That was considered a upscale restaurant, but I found it fine dining and listed it here. I went to the La Crepe and Hot, which was fantastic.
Right.
It was a quaint little French restaurant in a fountain square, little two-story shopping strip. And it was rated by the Zygotte Survey in the Florida Trend Top 200. And it's French Nouvelle cuisine.
Fantastic.
I asked about the bouillabaisse. And the waiter, who was excellent, he was class act, he asked me if I was very hungry. And at that point, I decided I would go with the house salad and drop everything else. And it was a good choice because I had to take some home.
So it sounded wonderful. Just getting back to the Stonewood for a moment, we do have one here in town. We have one in Sarasota. There are quite a number of them around, as you mentioned in your article. And Chef Tom's article is up on our site. If you go to www.ttrn.com, you can read it more in depth. And, Tom, once again, terrific. Great job, great food. I'm starving. In 15 minutes, I'm going to eat my apple.
Well, good luck. I hope you enjoy it, and it takes the gnaw out of your belly.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
It was Chef Tom. That's terrific. Great guy. And I... particular segments are getting to be lots of fun, and I hope we get a chance to do lots more. I'm going to try and go to break again. We've been having a couple of problems there because we've set up a little bit of a new system, and I'm having to do it manually. So bear with us. We're going to quickly go to Club Med, and then Bob Fisher is going to be back with Lee County.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks. All-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. Totally
want to
do it again.
Yes, you will totally want to do it again. And we're going to totally do it again with Bob Fisher, who's back on the line. And we're going to talk about a place that's very close to home here. And it's Lee County Living. And he calls it Lee County Living, Genuine Florida. And that's the title of Bob Fisher's article. And if I may take a few liberties here, Bob, you start out by saying, if I had my druthers, rather than sitting at my computer looking at gusts of snow swirling past my thermopane windows, I'd be on a flight to Fort Myers and Florida's Gulf Coast.
You want to believe it. And I'm feeling rather ambivalent or confused. I mean, it seems kind of silly that I'm talking to Florida about Florida, and I also feel just a little bit grumpy that I'm here and you're there. But I'll tell you, I was on a wonderful media trip conducted by Lee Rose, who you know, of course, and I discovered so much about Florida in general, you know, about Florida in general, but Lee County is a very special destination within Florida. I want to say, first of all, that one of the biggest problems, as I tried to point out in that editorial about the fixed notion, that a lot of people take a lot of things for granted, and they don't realize, for example, what a very diverse destination Florida is. You've talked about Mount Dora, for example. And when I spent, I think it was about a week, in Lee County, Fort Myers, Sanibel, Captiva, etc., I could have gone on and on and on. The layers of experience that you can have in Lee County are absolutely wonderful. It is, you know, you don't, I'd love to go to Costa Rica, which I haven't done yet, on an ecotourism, but believe me, Lee County is an ecotourism destination in itself.
And you say, you take Peggy Lee's sultry voice singing Summertime When the Living is Easy.
Do you remember her version of that?
I sure do.
Oh, gosh. That was
brought back a lot of memories when I saw it in your article.
Yeah, but you know, I that came to me. I don't know why, but at one point on the trip, they took us to a mangrove swamp. And I knew more or less what a mangrove was as a tree and that sort of thing, but I never realized that a mangrove swamp is a whole ecosystem unto itself, that it's absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
And I point out the website of the company that took us there, Babcock Wilderness Adventures, actually. And they take us through a swamp buggy, and which is really terrific because it's not like a zoo. You are actually going through a very natural habitat that has been maintained in its pristine state. And so you see the flora and the fauna in their natural state. And at one point we came across two rather large alligators who were in full mating mode, and he was chasing her. I think he was chasing her. Maybe she was chasing him. I'm not sure. I'm not good on, you know, sexing alligators. But
well, one of the things you've missed out on life. I don't know.
Well, I know you know the difference between a male and female alligator, but, you know, you hang around that kind of company.
One bites harder than the other.
Oh, is that it? Okay. But it was an absolutely marvelous experience because this was not, as I say, in a zoo-like situation. And these places, and I mentioned, excuse me, Ding Darling Wildlife Refuge, which is a huge, absolutely huge refuge on Sanibel Island itself.
A beautiful place.
But when we got into the mangrove forest, and the photograph at the top of the page of my article is actually a panoramic shot that, this of course is what you can do with digital cameras these days, right? You can take pan shots. But when we were walking along a boardwalk which winds its way through the swamp. Incredible botanic experience. The sound, the sense of peace, the smell of the place was so engaging. And you really got a sense of, and this is why I call it genuine Florida, you really got a sense of, okay, I understand topographically, geographically, what Florida is, and how it is being preserved in its original state in many places. Lee County is especially good from the places I've visited in terms of educating visitors to the environmental and the ecosystems, the natural ecosystems in the area. You know, of course, because you live there, you know how important Sanibel is, and it's probably the best shell collecting beach
absolutely
in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I think some visitors may not know is that there is an amazing shell museum there called the Bailey Matthews Shell Museum. The article, you can just click and go to it. This is a beautiful building architecturally. It will tell you everything about shells. And you know, I always thought a shell was a shell. What are these people doing walking on the beach? Haven't they got anything better to do, etc.? But what I learned in that museum was that shell collecting is really it's a ritual, but it's also the ritual of the return to the sea and the return to the authenticity of the land in this case, in the landscape.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it right on. Absolutely, and not only that, but you've learned a couple of shelling terms,
like the
Sanibel stoop.
Oh, yeah. And of course, I assume you know that, or the Captiva crouch.
Right.
And I also, and I don't know whether you got a chance to look at my favorite shell, which is the lightning whelk.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with whelk and con.
In Latin, of course, it's called the Bizikon sinistrum.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I didn't know that.
The kind
of
thing you sort of throw into conversation at a cocktail party.
Yeah, I kind of pass over that. Lightning whelk works for me.
Yeah, but they are, you know, what I now realize about shells is that they are the natural environment of Florida, of that area, especially of Lee County, in miniature, because and this is the other part that I learned about the Calusa people, the original native inhabitants of the area who unfortunately are now extinct. You know, as I say in the article, that there are some intellectual challenges when you visit any place, but in particular this place. And it kind of goes along with, you know, all life is precarious, especially human life. And here was a whole people. They died out in the 1700s, but they were the first tribe that the Europeans, the Spanish, encountered when they came to these shores. And these people had a very complex civilization. And the reason that they were so successful and they thrived in what is now Lee County, Sanibel, Captiva, in that area, is because of the marine resources and all the other resources within those marsh areas and swamp areas. There was a lot of
the whole area was self-sufficient for their
exactly and I think today, and I'm glad you said that, because Lee County is very self-sufficient, and for the visitor, that's what I liked about it the most. Every day I could have been doing five or six different things that were beautiful, exciting, challenging, and just something I've never seen before.
Well, I think
birds.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. People, every time people come to visit here, they're amazed by the birds and other wildlife, of course, but birds particularly, because as you are about probably to say, there are a number of them.
Well, over 300 species just along the beaches of Fort Myers and Sanibel Island, and even more within Ding Darling Wildlife Refuge. And, I mean, they're birds that normally you would never see. And this isn't to mention, you know, not to forget 51 species of reptiles.
Right, exactly.
And 32 species of mammals.
Right, but when somebody turns around to you and say, and just, you know, just even sometimes in the local neighborhoods, someone will turn around and say, someone from out of town and say, is that a stork? I mean, you know, they're just, look, there's an osprey. I mean, they're just amazed by it.
When I was down visiting you, you know, and I said, oh my God, it's an osprey. And you said, yeah, and your point is. But in Lee County, yeah, and the beauty of these birds, not only their physical beauty, but the way they fly, the flight, to see the ospreys fly, or even the pelicans flying in formation.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful. And I think what I learned about this area of Florida and why, and if you read the article, we will read more about why it has attracted so many people of vision, Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, help me here, Mary Reinhart. It was a literary and an artistic mecca,
right?
And still is.
Right, and of course. Ding Darling was a well-known person as well.
Political cartoonist, and really, and what most people probably never knew, he was one of the earliest environmentalists. But he recognized, by living there, he recognized that there was something very special and it had to be preserved. And he worked very hard at that way. Edison, you know, people, you know, they know he was a great inventor, and he had, like, over 1,000 patents on things, but he was also a self-taught botanist. And if you, when you're in Fort Myers, and you, listen to me, when you're in Fort Myers, you know, you can get there in no time, and you're driving down McGregor Boulevard, there's these hundreds of royal, well, they were imported and planted by Edison. And that's and because of that, that Fort Myers is known as Palm City.
Right, and then you go on to mention
the state.
You go on to mention that it was Harvey Firestone that gave him that banyan tree in 1925.
Right, and you know it is. It's the second largest banyan tree in the United States. It's the largest banyan tree on continental. United States, and I'm now happy to say that I've seen the largest, which is on Maui, the town. I can't think of the town.
There's also one in Oahu. I'm trying to think of the name of the hotel as well. That large banyan tree, and of course
the old,
right, sitting
old
under the banyan
hotel.
Tree.
Yeah.
Was that Robert Louis Stevenson?
Could be.
Sure.
But on the Edison estate, it's really, there's a photograph on my site of this too, the statue of Edison. And it's a kind of a spooky statue. He looks like a ghost.
Right.
But he's standing amongst the roots and the branches of this magnificent tree, because the two combined properties, the Edison estate and the Ford estate, which are a wonderful place to visit, or if you want to have a really splashy wedding there, it's a great place for that too. But it's a botanical paradise, really, because there are over 500 species of imported plants. Every picture on the website of this minute orchid, this minute purple orchid, and I had to take a picture of it close up against my hand just to show the size of it. But, you know, and Lee County is so much of everything and all of those things.
And then you got to get out.
I was surprised.
Well, you got to get out in the water as well. You got over to Cabbage Key, didn't you?
Cabbage Key. Now, and this is where the Calusa comes in.
Right.
Cabbage Key, the Cabbage Key Inn, which is absolutely wonderful, was built by Mary Ryan Hart, the writer. And it's on a small island, but it's built on top of one of these huge mounds of shells that were left behind in the 1700s by the Calusas.
The Calusas, yeah.
Yeah, and it's obviously a great boat ride. I mean, I can't believe it. Begin to tell you. I mean, we started in Captiva and worked our way through the islands, and of course we're being followed every now and then by a pod of bottlenose dolphins dancing in the wake behind
yeah.
the boat.
I always find that when I take my boat out, that's just such a great feeling. And then, of course, the view from across Pine Island is magnificent, isn't it?
That's right, and it's so. What really surprised me was how undeveloped it is. That whole area.
Yeah.
And this is, in part, I think, as I say, the wise Homo sapiens, that's rather redundant, but in Lee County, have really worked hard at building up and preserving the wealth, the natural wealth, the natural environmental wealth of that area. And they've had to be, you know, they've been very proactive. Politically as well. For example, on Sanibel, as you probably know, and everybody but me knew, is that there's no building higher than the highest palm.
Right.
Stories is the limit. There are no fast food outlets. Are you ready for this?
No traffic lights.
No McDonald's.
Yeah.
And no traffic lights. And the best bike trails at flat for guys like
right.
you and me. No, we don't want to go up the hills. And so you can tour that whole area, and I've put a link on the website to the bike trails as well.
And then you got over to Doc Ford's on Sanibel.
Doc Ford. You read Sanibel Flat.
I did. I love the book. In fact, I've got to get a couple more of his books, but they were absolutely terrific.
So interesting because, as I said, Anne Morrow Lindbergh, for example, wrote a book on Captiva Island and Sanibel, but the you know the homegrown writer is I always want to call him Doc Ford, but of course his real name is Randy Wayne White.
White, yeah.
And famous, you know, for writing mystery novels, a great kind of thing to read when you're away on a holiday. What I found about his style, I'm not necessarily a mystery or a thriller person, but I really appreciated his style. Very literate and very accessible as well. The plots and stories, again, like the whole area, have layers. And he really keeps you working and thinking as you read his books. But we got to go to Doc Ford's restaurant. And he works there every now and then. Unfortunately, he wasn't there the day I was.
Well, we need to get back, because I haven't been to it, actually.
Yeah, well, it's a really, it's a fun spot.
Right, I understand.
And obviously, but it's again, I go back to the word genuine. Everything that I saw and experienced in Sanibel, none of it seemed contrived or manufactured or unduly embellished. It blended with the natural environment, and you really felt that you were having the authentic experience. And I know I'm starving, by the way, after listening to Tom on that last piece.
I've got an apple to look at.
Right, but I can talk to you about restaurants in Lee County too, and I've given a whole list of them there with the links to them because some of them are absolutely amazing, high end, low end, middle end, you name it. Do you know the Casa Ybel Resort?
Yes.
It's restaurant Thistle Lodge was just it was Tom would have just gone nuts in that place. But Roy, I know how much you love Eggs Benedict and how much you are a gourmet when it comes to Eggs Benedict. Well, the best place in Florida for Eggs Benedict is Amy's Over Easy Cafe.
That sounds wonderful.
If you don't know how
to
get it, get there, just ask someone. They'll say, Amy's just over there, down there.
That's great. We'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, but great places to eat, and maybe I can bring it to a close here towards the end of the article. I use a subhead that says, the quiet purposefulness of Lee County, and quote Aristotle, nature does nothing in vain. And I'm convinced that that's what the people of Lee County understand, that nature does nothing in vain. Everything has a purpose, and they live that way. And when you go there, you're not on a holiday or whatever. You're not going to lead a nameless existence. And as I say, every shell you admire will not be a random act, because it's not in the nature of Lee County to encourage such a frivolous mindset.
Right.
One of the best destinations I've been to in a long time.
Beautiful place, love it. And you know, it's great that the they've recovered from the last hurricane. In fact, when we had the people from Lee County on the show, they had mentioned, as I think I had mentioned about this area, is that the waters had receded so far that it uncovered shells that they hadn't seen for that they haven't found in that area for a long time. So beautiful place, and we certainly highly recommend those who are coming down here to visit, and those that live locally, get over and spend some time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it goes along with, I mean, this is part of our series, Rediscovering America, Travel Treasures Close to Home. Well, hey, for you guys in Florida, you know, I'm just starting to learn all the travel treasures you have down there. And I put a link, by the way, to the Visit Florida's Downtowns and Small Towns, which is a great resource as well. There's so much to discover. And Roy, just before I go, I got to say hello to Peggy. Peggy is a good friend and my wife's cousin, and she's just moved down to Florida, to Haines City. And I hope she's listening and enjoying herself, and knows that that it's bloody cold up here. So,
well, it's up to 70 here now, so.
Yeah.
We got to go, Bob. I thank you. Great article, great story, and as always, very interesting. So we're gonna go, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Well, that was Bob Fisher, and as we all know, Sanibel is just a great, great place to visit. And I'm going to just go through who we have on the show next week. We have Carol Matthews in Amsterdam, Brian Matthews, Dinosaurs in Alberta, Destination Worldview, again with Bob Fisher, and Bob's going to cover Madrid. So this is Roy Lowy saying goodbye till next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.